brother. Oh, what's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah,
I
brother,
can
like,
dig it.
Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. You know, it's a little cloudy out right now, but we'll see how the weather pans out for the day.
Yeah, man, it's not going to be bad, though. I mean, talking about little showers, but, you know, 80 degrees.
Feels good today. It feels good. I think the weather be damned, it's a good day.
So by now you know who that guy is. That's none other than my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, how you doing, sir?
Doing well. Doing very well. I think it is a good day. It feels like a new day. I think it felt that way yesterday to a lot of people. I think that the weekend's events have been extremely uplifting to the country. I think Joe Biden did such a good thing. You know, it was selfless. People thought, you know, is Joe going to go? Is he going to be kicking and screaming while people discuss whether he should run or not? I think he took the right amount of time to consider it. I think the timing was impeccable, right after the Republican convention. But I think mainly what you have to look at is here's a guy who did a selfless thing and has been a very good president and is going to have now an extremely good legacy. People can look at all of his accomplishments. I think they can also look at his action over the weekend and say that was remarkable. You know, it was a remarkably selfless thing. I think you could project and look at the guy that's running on the other side and realize that he would never, ever do anything like that. Step away from being able to run after power, have a selfless act to promote the public good. And I think that, Mike Pence and others on the other side of the fence have stood up correctly to congratulate Joe for doing the right thing and doing something that was good for everybody.
You know, Sandy, you and I on Friday were kind of lamenting the direction of the party and this election.
Yes.
And, you know, Donald Trump had just garnered all kind of goodwill because of, the attempt on his life. And then the Republican convention is the pep rally that you talked about was in full force. And everything just looked like, man, this is going to be impossible to overcome. And you said a couple things.
Yeah, I remember one thing I said is you hold a pep rally Friday night before the Saturday game because pep doesn't last that long.
Yeah.
And it's already, we've already proven that. I mean, the air has left that balloon. I think that we were worried, I guess. And, you know, when you don't know, you don't have a crystal ball. You don't know what Joe Biden's going to do. So I guess I was worried that he might not do the thing that he did over the weekend, but he did, and to be congratulated. And I think he will go down in history in a very, very positive way as the result of all that he did and what he did over the weekend. But I think also that the Kamala, you know, I had talked before skeptically about whether she might be the right person or not based on polls. Right.
Right.
But there's something that happens that is related to politics, but it's also just related to events in the world. It's a feeling. It's a feeling that you get, okay? And I maybe am projecting, but I don't think so. The feeling that I'm watching other people have matches the feeling I'm having, which is extreme enthusiasm over her candidacy, okay? I think she's going to be a remarkably good candidate, and I think that she's a breath of fresh air that people have been looking for in politics for a long time. We've had two candidates that have dominated the scene since 2016, okay? And these two people are quite old, and we now have another generation. We've actually moved a generation down. Kamala comes from the next generation. Furthermore, I think she embodies a great deal of what people are looking for. I think she's a direct person. I don't know. I'm surprised at myself because I have a great deal of enthusiasm and have a really strong positive feeling, and I sense that the world out there feels the same way.
You know, Sandy, I'll just tell you my thoughts after during Friday and the conversation we had, and you know, the Republican convention coming to an end and not knowing what President Biden was going to do. And I was resolving myself to saying, hey, you know, Donald Trump and the Republicans are going to win this. And so because I didn't see any hope, you know, and not that Joe Biden wasn't a good man and not that Joe Biden hadn't done great things, but I didn't see, as you stated, how he could change the trajectory of what people were feeling.
Right.
Right. That just didn't appear to be anything that he could do.
Right. There was a malaise and it was a lack of enthusiasm. All the polls said people just aren't enthusiastic. I mean, you know, there were these issues of infirmity and age. And I'm not sure that I think Joe Biden has done terrific things, but I'm not sure he didn't win in a landslide well, I guess he did win by a lot of numerical votes, but the Electoral College was tight. But I think that that enthusiasm was lacking, and I think that you can see now from the rate of fundraising, but also just the way people are reacting to Kamala's candidacy, that there was a latent in many people a desire to be enthusiastic, and I think they're now embracing it.
Let's go to Mark from Sussex quickly. Hey, Mark, how you doing, sir?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call, Earl. So for the last 10 years, all I've heard is the threat to democracy is Republicans, Donald Trump, blah, blah, blah. Joe Biden, I mean, how naive do you think we are? Joe Biden was pushed out. He did not decide that he did not want to run because 2 days earlier, he was all in. And that, here's the other thing, the whole threat to democracy, Kamala Harris knew his situation. And who's running the country right now? Who is running our country?
Mark, you've got, I don't know if you got the memo or you watched the talking points, but I've heard each of the things you've said spoken by others on it must be a short list. But first of all, no one has attacked Joe Biden as being incompetent, okay? That the competency hasn't been the issue. Republicans undoubtedly were going to attack him for competency. But the 25th Amendment has not been exercised. The cabinet, unlike the cabinet under Trump, where there was actual discussion amongst the cabinet of exercising the 25th Amendment during his presidency, it has not been discussed or talked about. There are means for pushing a president out. Whether in a party, how the party selects its candidate is up to the party, but Joe Biden made this decision. I mean, do you think they put a gun to his head? How do you force someone to make a decision other than to discuss facts, to discuss and to analyze polls, to look at possibilities, to evaluate things? You know, every coach is going to be coached forever until he's fired. Okay, so you know the notion that Joe Biden was saying that he was going to be in the race forever, that's what you say until the day you decide you aren't, okay? You can't waffle and say, well, I might be, I might not be. That's not in the cards. So, I mean, I think the Republicans need to find some new talking points because, quite frankly, I don't think these fly.
Well, to be honest, you want to talk about talking points. It's just amazing how all Democrats now jump on board that Kamala is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And exactly what you just said, Sandy, those are all talking points. Those are all talking points that Kamala is the best. Joe is going to be one of the greatest presidents ever. And you know what? Again, you didn't answer my question on who is running our country.
Well, I don't think I need to answer it because President Biden is President Biden. President Biden has a competent cabinet, okay? President Biden has stability in his cabinet, okay? President Biden has run the White House in a businesslike way. How many executives, staff directors has President Biden had? How many defense secretaries has President Biden had? How many secretaries of state has President Biden had? Okay. Now, Donald Trump wants to magnify that and say, well, a good leader fires people. Okay. No, I think a good leader runs an organization that has consistency, stability, and can cruise along and operate based on the competence within the administration. So, you know, and I receive no talking points, okay? And I watch no TV news. Not a minute of TV news do I watch, okay? So everything I've expressed are my own views, and they aren't somebody else's talking points.
I don't get talking points either, Mark. And I would say, you know, this, as Sandy just stated, is what I'm hearing constantly from all Republicans, or who, especially those who are in the media. But what does it matter? If what happened, what crime was committed?
I'm not saying there's any crime committed. I'm just saying you think that we're naive enough to believe that Joe Biden wasn't pushed out.
Wait, let's just talk about mechanisms. That's like a rigged election. How do you push out a president? What do you think happened physically? I mean, I'm just interested. A fly in the room. How did he get pushed out? I mean, that's an interesting expression. They pushed him out. What do you mean pushed out? Yeah, did people come to him and say, Joe, we're not sure that you can win the election? Yeah, I'm sure that happened. Don't you think that happened?
I don't think it was a rigged election at all. You can do it any way you want. I understand that. But for us to, you tell us that we're naive enough to believe that he was not pushed out is...
Nobody on this show has said he wasn't pushed out. The mechanism for him to realize that he needed to not run involved, I'm sure, a lot of conversations. Does it amount to a push? That's semantics, okay? I'm sure that people had face-to-face tough conversations with Joe Biden, and he had to make a tough decision, but he made it.
Mark, thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with the man, Sandy Williams, on the Earl Ingram Show. Man, I have a voice like that. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My co-host Sandy Williams is here and is animated.
Apparently, I over-caffeinated.
Let's go. The music.
The music. It's basically to... Last night I picked music that reflected how I felt about things. So a new day coming. It's all about kind of the bright new sunny day. So that's what it's about.
Let's go to Chad from Greenfield. Good morning to you, Chad. You say what?
Hey, how's it going? Well, speaking of music requests, you should play Real American or Stranglehold by Ted Nugent. You know, things that support President Trump. But before
Trump is not the president. So hey, Trump is not the president.
We refer to people as President Trump, whether he's currently...
There's only one president, but go ahead.
Well, anyways, let's give credit, first of all, to the great wise Vivek Ramaswamy, because he called this right away. He saw it from
Vivek Ramaswamy.
Well, actually, I think a whole bunch of people have predicted that the candidates that come the election day, it wouldn't be Trump versus Biden. It would be a different matchup. And, I think, there are different observers who will have different forecasts. Actually, I think yours truly predicted something as well. But I'm not sure that the capacity to say something like that would make me a great swami like Ramaswamy.
Go ahead, Chad.
He said it right on debate, and he nailed it perfectly. And he said how it was going to happen and when it was going to happen. He nailed it perfect. But my whole point is, when I called last time and I talked to you, you made an inference after I was hung up on that I was afraid, or Trump is afraid of Kamala Harris. Nobody is afraid of Kamala Harris. She's polling just as bad, if not worse, than Joe Biden. But I'm just saying, imagine being a Democrat voter. I think Mark from Sussex made a lot of great points. But imagine being a Democrat voter. First of all, you've been lied to from all these pundits saying that. Well, they always use the keyword sharp. Did you notice that? I noticed that right away. Joe Biden is sharp. Joe Biden is sharp. It's always the word sharp. So you know that was the talking point.
Hey, Chad.
You're lied to there.
Hey, Chad. Why are you talking about Joe Biden? Joe Biden is not running anymore. It is Kamala Harris. Let's deal with that reality.
I am dealing with the reality, because if you're a Democrat, first of all, you've been lied to with the sharpness. Then, on top of it, you voted for Joe Biden and they took away your vote. How many?
Now, I know you've been listening to conservative talk radio and television, because that's what they've been saying. By the way, I listen to conservative talk radio and television. Those are the exact things that they've said.
So, well,
verbatim.
I think the proof is going to be in the pudding in terms of how Democrats and the general public react to what's happened. Okay. And I think spin is kind of something of the past. And I know that spin has always been a part of politics. And I know that what you're talking about now is your spin. Okay. And the spin that's been put out there, but we'll all find out how people feel about it. I don't think that there was any great secret about Joe Biden's capacity. I think that before he gave the State of the Union, people wondered whether he had the capacity. He gave the State of the Union, people gave him a pass on it. He got a get out of jail free card based on his performance there. There's been constant presentations, particularly by the Republicans, particularly in social media, about Joe Biden's capacity. There's not been lying to about it. The public was well aware of it. It's why the public was not enthusiastic about Joe Biden's potential election. It's why Joe Biden was not polling as well as he might. Okay. So I don't think that we've got a smoking gun here. Okay. I don't think that there was a cabal that was attempting to cover this up, because you know what? You can't ultimately cover this up. There is an election. There's an election season. There are debates. There are appearances. All of that is kind of smoky conspiracy theory stuff that it doesn't fly.
Go ahead, Chet.
Well, let's speak about Kamala Harris. Now, first of all, she's never gotten one vote for any kind of president. She dropped out 6 months before the primary 4 years ago. She did not get any votes this time around. And then she gets the nomination, she's not going to win. But second of all, her rally today, I don't even think, where is it? I don't think it's even open to the public. I've been doing research.
It's open. I'm going. It's open to the public. It is going to be packed. Those are just facts.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't announced it publicly for safety reasons.
Well, we clearly have a candidate now. It's going to be Kamala Harris. That's going to be the opposition to Donald Trump. Kamala Harris won a statewide election for attorney general in California. She won a statewide election for U.S. Senate in California. I think that's either the first or second largest state in the country. I think it comprises a significant percentage of the United States population and the GDP. She has name recognition. Now, of course, those who don't want Kamala Harris to be president will be able to discuss what it is they don't like about Kamala Harris. That's politics. That's what we're going to have. But I am simply predicting, and that there is a sense I have that she will be viewed as a breath of fresh air, and that a breath of fresh air is what people have been looking for to breathe because the oxygen has been sucked out of the room.
So according to Tony, every vote for Biden was also a vote for Harris. She received millions of votes. Chad, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, you know, we're not expecting the other side to all of a sudden speak laudably about Kamala Harris.
No, I mean, actually, campaigns are all about trying to throw up on the wall the criticism of the opponent to see what sticks, okay?
Yeah.
It's like spaghetti. Some of it sticks and some of it doesn't. And so that's what we're going to watch now is that process. But and my only concern is that it not go into the gutter, but my expectation is...
It's going to go into the gutter.
That it will.
Yeah. And so at the end of it, it's not going to change the reality. Kamala Harris is now the candidate of the Democrats for president of the United States. She's going to run against Donald Trump. Not Joe Biden. It doesn't matter how many times you bring up Joe Biden's name. He's not running anymore. And the reality is what they're going to have to deal with.
Well, and the other thing is that is she going to be accused of being a loyal vice president? Unlike Mike Pence, who Donald Trump ultimately allowed to have hung in effigy outside the Capitol.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's a brand new day. It's Tuesday, and that means my co-host Sandy Williams is on board, and he's all smiles. Well, so am I. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. And admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen and keep your...
Yeah, I'm trying to remember that voice. I know that voice.
Dylan, Bob
Dylan. Oh, Bob Dylan. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, choice of music.
Well, times are a-changing. I picked music that reflected how I felt last night, which was... sort of ebullient, actually, looking forward.
All right, let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Brendan, go ahead. Brendan?
How are you, brother?
All right, go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I was going to open up with my big wrestler thing, but yeah, I don't feel like I've been lied to. I don't know what convention they were watching, but I didn't hear anybody mention Project 2025, women's abortion rights, or anything, because, well, they're lying to their party now because, hey, who wants to talk about that? It's a non-starter, okay? And the MAGA anger and the MAGA tears are filling my cup. So keep it coming, because I'm looking forward to that, that CJ call today. You know, where they're going to claim something. But I think the grossest thing I've seen so far is your guy, Glenn Grossman, an interview saying that Dems are staying with Kamala because of her ethnic background. I mean, the dude put everything but a hard R on that. OK, I mean, come on, man. You guys can do better. That's all I got.
Well, thank you. Thank you, man. But if you know Glenn Grossman, that's no surprise. I always referred to him as Barney Rubble. And he's not exactly the most articulate guy. He was the same way when he was with the legislature in Wisconsin. Thank you, Brendan. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call, as always. You know, I was kind of blown away by Mark from Sussex's call. You know, I have a question. Who was running the country when Donald Trump was playing 261 rounds of golf while he was on the course, while he was traveling to one of his golf courses, and requiring the Secret Service to pay inflated price for the lodging and everything else? You know, issues. Mark or CJ or anybody, let's have topics of, or let's have discussions about issues, topics that are important to all of us. You know, you talk about haters. You know, insult and grievance politics is what America has had it up to their ears with. They're tired of it. They want people to do the work of the people. If they're elected in office, then they need to be public servants and do the job that they're elected to do, not destroy or take away or tear down, but to build up our system and our infrastructure of democracy, for crying out loud. You know, it's offensive. When we went, somehow these guys turned a blind eye to the W. Bush wars and the bailouts, all caused from deregulation from the right. So, you know, and enough of this hating and you know, dooming candidates before you even have a policy discussion, before you have any knowledge of what you're talking about. But it shows to me clearly that the GOP has been taken over by this group of haters that absolutely want to tear down this country and build it in the likes of Orban in Hungary. It's authoritative and in spirit. It feels like it all over. Again, when you see who they do talk superlative and have, you know, professional and political respect for, it's all these strongman authoritative types. So, you know what? Enough of the nonsense, Mark and CJ. Get on board. Put the country first for a change instead of your wrong policy.
Hey, Mike. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Well, good morning, Earl. Tom Allah. first off, we the people ultimately are the government. And that does include all of us. So you guys over on the other side, just know that there is a place for you as well. It won't be an authoritarian dictatorship. It'll actually be a democracy because we won't have Project 2025. And for all of you callers that are calling in on the right, every time you call in, I'm donating more money to Kamala Harris. And I'm also making extra hours that I'll be walking streets for Kamala Harris. She was a great senator here in the state of California. She has ties to Wisconsin. She actually lived off of Lake Mendota when she was a young child from age 3 to 5. She does have some faint memories of Wisconsin. And the thing about it is, you know, it was so great yesterday when Joe was on the call with her and he's like, you go get him, kid. I mean, what a nice, I mean, you can just see the love between Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the partnership that they have. And I'm just so excited and so pumped up. I am part of that $90 million that was given to her. I am against money in politics, as you know. But you know what? We live in the system that we live for dark money.
Hey, Tom, yeah. You like myself, and Sandy and others. Last week, we were melancholy, and you were melancholy in your calls. Today, that's completely changed, and that's the impact of what transpired with that decision that was made on Sunday. It's transformed people's, spirits, and now they you know it's. It's like a new beginning, and the Republicans are going to have a hard time dealing with that. Thank you very much for the call, Sandy.
Well, exactly, and that's the music I selected, new beginning music. I think it's a breath of fresh air. That's what the words I keep coming to, because that's the way I feel. And I think that's the way the American public is going to feel. And maybe we can get down to discussing policies and get away from all this broad talk, broad false talk, you know, the talk about how terrible the economy has been, how, you know, the notion that Biden is the worst president ever in the history. I mean, Donald Trump, I guess, doesn't want to be the worst president in history, so he's got to find someone else to accuse. But, Joe Biden has accomplished quite a bit. There's plenty positive to talk about. There's plenty positive to do. There's plenty of hard work to be done to come up with fiscal policies that will be disciplined in conjunction with reestablishing the priorities for how we spend money.
You know, Sandy, this, and I understand why it's so difficult on Republicans, because just yesterday, their whole stick was about inflation, crime, gas prices, age, Ukraine, grocery prices, Hunter Biden's laptop, covering up the Biden limitations, the Biden crime family. In one fell swoop, that's all gone.
Well, I mean, I think it's still going to be, we're still going to have the economy discussed. It's always the economy.
Yeah,
stupid,
but the fact is, Kamala Harris, and blame her.
Well, no, but the fact is that Kamala Harris is an articulate person, and she will be able to articulate very well how very positive the economic circumstances are. And whereas there's this desire to paint a notion that America is in dire straits, okay, that somehow there's something terribly wrong with our economy, when in fact every measure of our economy is better than it's ever been. Levels of employment, levels of job creation, the decreasing rate of inflation, the solidity of the stock market. The stock market has gained more during the period of Biden than it did during the period of Trump. I mean, there's every measure that you can look at that is extremely solid and actually belies this notion, this cry of doom that Donald Trump has been running on, which is somehow that the country's in dire straits. The country is not in dire straits, and Kamala Harris, I think, will be very capable of explaining that.
Well, you know, Sandy, when your focus is clearly on one man, and that's exactly what it's been with the Republicans, on that one man, on Joe Biden himself.
Well, I think it's because they have adopted a politics of personality and cult. And when you're in that position, I guess all you can look at is personalities, and you can attack it's all about ad hominem personal attacks and personal discussion. But the fact is that governments and presidencies are all about policy. And I think that Kamala Harris is going to be able to bring that discussion back to policy.
You know, Sandy, the fact that she's a woman, and I was saying to somebody the other day, you know, talking about who the first woman is going to be as president. And you know, Hillary Clinton's name came up. And how long ago was that? How many? 8 years ago. And so after Hillary was failed, nobody was talking about a woman president. That was at least maybe 8 years down the road, we would think, before in this country they would even consider that. Well, here it is now.
Well, and I think that Hillary, you know, people look at Donald Trump and say he won the election. I think for some whatever reason, and I don't think it was necessarily because she was a woman, Hillary was someone who there were a lot of never Hillarys out there, and never Hillary people.
Including women.
Including women and including men. And so I think really Hillary Clinton lost that election. I think she had baggage. I don't think it was fairly tied to her, but I think she had a lot of baggage in running for the presidency that, quite frankly, Kamala Harris doesn't have.
You know, so now we've got a woman.
Yeah.
A strong woman. And clearly all signs point to the fact that there are not people, America can be and has been sexist. in the past.
Yes, and I think that Kamala's, I already heard one of her speeches, and it was an interesting one. You know, she was a prosecutor, and she points out how she prosecuted people who were charged with scams and fraud, and people who were charged with sexual abuse, and people who were charged with a list of crimes that all describe
her opponent. Yes.
Okay. And I think that, quite frankly, that's a very interesting way to present the differences between them.
You know, it, I don't know how, you know, suburban women who Donald Trump lost, and they were hoping they could, he could get them back, how critically important they are. They vote. Clearly, suburban women, if they had an option to vote for a woman or vote for Donald Trump, chances are, for the most part, more than likely, they're going to vote overwhelmingly.
Well, I think, and I would attribute voting, I mean, there's obviously a gender issue there that we can describe, but I hope and think that it had more to do with policy. I think that when we look at it, actually, the Biden presidency has been a centrist presidency, just the way the Obama presidency was a centrist presidency. And I think when we end up analyzing policies, people will figure out that this is actually a centrist, in spite of the notion that the right wants to describe the people they run against as a leftist elite Marxists. This is actually a centrist administration, and I think that's going to be very important.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
The line it is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday with my co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy, the music again.
Well, I felt ebullient and hopeful yesterday, and all the music reflects sort of the new day coming.
Here comes
the sun.
Let's go to Lynn from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Lynn. Thank you for hanging on. You say what?
Well, I'm a card-carrying Democrat. I've attended meetings and conventions and voted for our representatives who do higher up elections. And I just want to make an announcement, and this goes to all people, including members of the Party of Alternative Facts. The torch has been passed. Thank you.
Hey, Lynn, we really appreciate that. You hung on the line all of that time. And so clearly, before you go, tell us how this makes you feel as someone who is as engaged as you have been.
Well, I met Kamala in 2009 at a Senator Tammy Baldwin fundraiser. And she spoke, and she has energy and charisma. And talent, and she's super intelligent. And I am excited about that. And yet I have tears in my eyes for Joe. But it's time to pass that torch. And I'm a little bit older than you. And I think young people should be making decisions now.
You know, Lynn, very well said. I want to ask you one more thing, and I think Sandy wants to ask you a question before we let you go. What are your thoughts about a woman finally having an opportunity to lead this nation?
I don't see her just as a woman. I see an intelligent, super person who is exciting and has enthusiasm. And after I heard her speak in 2009, I leaned over a friend who was sitting between us and I said, "You should run for president." And I really felt that in my heart. And I believe we will have an extremely strong leader. So I don't just see her as a woman, but as a strong leader.
Well said, Lynn. Sandy.
Well, Lynn, you expressed the passing of the torch. I think that puts into words more or less the way I felt it. I think the refreshing aspect of this is that it is, in many respects, a person we've seen and know, but it is a fresh face and a breath of fresh air, and I presume that's the way you feel about it as well.
I do, and I hope she continues with President Joe Biden's progressive agenda, that we don't go back to being a more corporate Democratic group. So those are pretty much my feelings. I feel we're in very competent hands, and she will select people who are competent in their field, and hopefully we will reverse some of the Supreme Court's rulings.
Hey, Lynn, very well said. Thank you. You're a very gracious person, and it's great to have you listening and calling in as well. So, Sandy, she said that she will select competent people. I'm satisfied that she's going to select competent people. You don't hear those words when it comes to the other guy. We're confident that he's going to select competent people.
Well, he's going to select loyal people.
Yeah.
I think that's
difference, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we found that out in the first 4 years. He went from a period in his initial appointments, which appeared to be relatively competent, he went through several house cleanings because he could never find people who had the requisite degree of loyalty, which was apparently a much higher and more important criteria than competence. And the fact is that Project 2025 and the Republican approach to government seems to diminish the notion that there needs to be competence in government, that government needs to be run by able people so that we deliver services efficiently and ably. And I think, quite frankly, that the Biden administration has demonstrated that they're committed to competence, that we've had competence. You can look at the political appointments like Pete Buttigieg and others, but all of them are extremely competent people who appear to be highly focused on their agencies and running their agencies in a competent fashion. And, Trump's criticism be damned. He said, Biden doesn't fire anybody, as if that was a criteria for the presidency. But what we don't need is someone who fires everybody.
Yeah, there has to be stability, right?
It has to be stability. Part of what people in business need, part of what you need to wake up confidently in the morning, is the notion that things are stable, that things are going to be as you expect them to be, or things are going to be improving as you expect them to improve. But what you don't need is chaos and instability. And quite frankly, that is what was delivered to us from 2016 to 2020.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
Little darling, I feel that ice is slowly melting. Little darling, it seems like years since it's been clear. Here comes the sun, do-do-do-do. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right. Here comes the sun, do-do-do-do-do. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right. It's all right.